falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate, a Film Lover's Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and as always, I'm joined with Brandon.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
And today we are doing the fifth out of our sixth Adam Sandler films in our grab bag films. I chose this one. This is the 2009 film Funny People, about when seasoned comedian George Simmons learns of his terminal inoperable health condition. His desire to form a genuine friendship causes him to take a relatively green performer under his wing as his opening act. Very surprised to find out this came out in 2009. I remember seeing this in the theater by myself, and I was like, ooh, I had just graduated high school and I was watching this movie? Mm-hmm. Had you seen this before?
No.
Either of you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, this was probably like my third or fourth time seeing it. Third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd you think about it, Michael, since this is your category?
I did like it. At first I was like, holy shit, this movie's 2.5 hours long.
Yes.
But I feel like it does an okay job of not feeling like a 2.5 hour loop, because at the end it's just like, oh, it's all the build up, you know, they're gonna rekindle their love. No spoiler, well, I guess, but and then that happens, you're like, oh shit. But yeah. It was pretty good. I liked it.
It does really wrap up those last 30 minutes pretty quickly, but I will say The time from him being better to, I would say, the Eric Bana blow up, that part seems very, like, slow to me. Mm-hmm. But I'd seen it multiple times. I own this movie. I do enjoy it. I remember a lot of people hating it at the time because it was called Funny People and it was a serious movie.
The only problem that I have with that is that I appreciate the movie for what it is, right? Like, I get the black comedy drama part of it where it's serious in nature, but you got some funny stuff happening in the background. The only thing that I didn't really care for is the funny stuff happening in the background. To me, wasn't all that funny this time.
No. It's like this weird, like, dry, morbid humor. Yeah,
like they're, well, yes, well, just, yeah, like the stand up jokes by all comedians and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that, I was like,
see, which is,
I'm like, who wrote this stuff? Like, they're writing for each other, right? But they're terrible jokes. Like, these are, yeah, even in 2009, these jokes, they're not that great.
Judd Apatow had everybody write their own set list and go out and actually perform comedy at, like, the Comedy Cellar. So that's, like,
right, seems even worse.
Real stand up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it just, like, it, the funny bits of it just fell flat. I'm just like, these jokes kind of suck. Like,
that and
you didn't
Adam
like Aziz
Sandler
introducing.
I did like Aziz.
Aziz introducing Randy to the world.
Randy.
I do love that, but
now that's a throwback.
Yeah, but really, I mean, I don't know. They were kind of weak.
Well, yeah, like the part that Adam Sandler has this weird obsession, being like, oh yeah, I bet you got a big cock. Well, a big guy with a big cock. It's
yeah,
like, chill, dude.
Oh, you got a big dick.
Yeah.
But, ooh, yeah, very, very repetitive jokes that, like, missed the first time and kept missing. So it's like,
it kept
part of me,
yeah,
part of me feels like the Seth Rogen jokes are more character based than actually him just doing stand up. Because that's like the whole thing is that Adam Sandler's just like, do you just never want to have sex? All you're doing is talking about jerking off and farting.
Right.
Like,
right.
So, like, I give him the leniency. That when I know that, like, that's actually what Aubrey Plaza wrote and did stand up was that's what Aziz did. That's what Jonah Hill was doing. But I feel like I give Rogan the pass on that because that's the whole character arc, is that now by the end of the movie, he hits what Adam Sandler says is 100% fart free.
Yeah. I don't know. I just that the jokes didn't really age that well to me.
Yeah, they were a little like forced, or I don't know. It's like they wrote them on like last minute.
Yeah, like I just didn't get the effort.
Yeah.
But
well,
but the movie is almost 20 years old. So
I know, right? I was thinking about the. I was like 2009. That's crazy.
Maybe that's what I was just saying what we did is just joke about farts all the time.
I still do that, but yeah.
I mean, farts are funny, like, but you never force a fart joke.
Never know what you're going to get if you do that.
Doesn't end well.
That is true. I chose this movie because I wanted that other side of Adam Sandler, and I think my memory was that he was very serious in this movie, but I think what we got was the mope Sandler. It doesn't sound like a nice term to use it, but like in my head, he was more serious about it, but instead he's more sad sack, dour, depressed. I mean, like as you would be if you were getting it, being told you had an inoperable blood disease, but
I felt like it was just a mix of all of his characters into one depressed.
But I also do feel like that was kind of the point. Like, there's a lot of the real footage. Like, obviously, the very beginning, it's Adam Sandler, Ben Stiller, Janine Garofalo, and then Judd Apatow is the one filming. That's, like, when they all live together.
Yeah.
The prank call at the very beginning is all real footage of them doing that. Obviously, when he's watching like old stand-up bits, that's real young Adam Sandler, him on Conan, all that stuff. The only made-up stuff is like all his movies, even though
they're half. We've
been talking
the one with the baby.
We've been talking about Adam Sandler movies, so like the joke is that this is definitely a movie that Adam Sandler would do.
The Merman.
Yeah, the Merman. You wished you wanted to be younger. I didn't mean this young.
Yeah.
What kind of food they selling? Seafood.
Oh, that's funny.
So, and then I feel like there was like this stretch where Judd Apatow was trying to like stop making just like slapstick comedy and focus more on, because like after this, then there was like This Is 40, which was like that knocked up, quasi knocked up sequel that more people didn't like because, again, they were like, oh, it's a knocked-up sequel, and then they got, like, a serious drama about being in your 40s and having a family.
Right.
With comedy elements sprinkled in, but, like, I don't think people got what they were paying for. But surprised to find out, no Oscar nominations for this, which obviously we'll get into. But I honestly, Eminem deserved it.
I already forgot Eminem was in there for a second.
That's my favorite part of this movie, but
I mean, it's pretty killer cast. I mean,
it really is. Yeah.
And the cameos and everything. I mean, they were fully loaded, and it was pretty cool.
Unsung hero for most things, Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman. Yep.
Yeah.
Holding it down.
Yeah.
Just being the dick.
I love it.
But like still like a very Jason
polite dick.
Adam Sandler calling him Pete Rose made me laugh so much harder than it probably should have. My wife is like, I don't get it. And I was like, he's got the haircut. But let's dive into this puppy, shall we?
Yeah.
Like I said, it's 2009. This is a year we do a lot, guys. The top three films, 2009. Number three, Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
Look.
Which Larry Potter movie do you think is number two?
I can't keep them straight. What's that year? That's that Prisoner of Azkaban, or Am I Too Late?
That's too early. Well, sorry. No, this is... Prisoner of Azkaban was earlier.
I was like 2003. Okay, never mind. I redact my... I don't know. You tell me.
This Goblet of Fire.
The Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Can't keep them straight.
And then number one, 2009, is Avatar.
So.
Ticket cost, 2009, $7.50, which is equivalent to $11.21 our money. By the way, when we did Avatar, $7.50 in today's money was only $10.59 our money. So inflation's gone up even more since the time we did Avatar to when we're talking now.
To today.
Yeah. Jumped up almost an entire dollar. Budget for the film, $75 million.
That'd be just in salary alone.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be. Which is equivalent to $112.1 million. The box office, however, was only $71
million.
Which is equivalent to $106.1 million in our money. Like I said, nominated for zero Academy Awards, but, guys, was in fact nominated for an IGN Award Favorite Cameo category for Ray Romano.
No.
It didn't win, but...
Shit.
Not Eminem, but Ray Romano.
Hey, Marshall.
Yeah.
The fuck is that?
Do you want to fuck me? Say no! I thought that was so funny. I was going through and I was like, of all the people, Ray Romano got a...
Yeah.
I mean, it's favorite cameo award, but like...
Introducing the... Ray Romano.
Hey, Marshall. thought everybody loved you.
Yeah, fair.
Like I said earlier, this movie begins with real-life footage. You know, we get Adam Sandler and Judd Apatow prank-calling people. What a menace that man truly must have been pre-SNL.
Before they gave him an outlet to channel his comedic energy towards...
When I had the roast beef at me, people to the beef.
Oh my god, yeah.
And then that callback joke later when he's like, you left the string on the roast beef.
When he said the thing. Cut to Adam Sandler in his massive California mansion, looking sad, headed off to his doctor's appointment. Hey, it's George Simmons. George Simmons, you know, he's got to take pictures. You know, he's got to do the whole thing. Ah, let me get you right up in there. While he's taking the photos with everybody.
That was good. That was really good.
We've been watching these movies.
We've been practicing.
I've been watching Adam Sandler movies that aren't even on our list.
So have I.
I was scouting before.
I feel like I got to wait it down.
His doctor informs him, I got some terrible news. You have a rare disease, likes it to leukemia.
Is it chlamydia?
You know, those girls did look dirty. and he has a rough road ahead. And by that, I mean, we're past the point that even chemo is going to help. So you can either just get sick and die, or we can try an experimental treatment that only 8% of people have even had positive results to. But it really is your only option if you want to survive. So now we get post him leaving the doctor's appointment. Same thing. People, it's George Simmons. So he's still got to play the game, take photos with everybody. But now he's being less Adam Sandler and clearly more like forcing a smile. As one would, having just been given that sort of news. We cut to Seth Rogen, who's working at a deli, Otto's Deli with RZA.
RZA. Another great cameo.
He's a moonlight as a comic, but everyone's just like,
Otto's
trying
Lotto.
To convince, Otto's Lotto, baby. He's trying to get RZA to come to his stand-up set. I can't do that. The manager comes over and goes, don't do it. He's not funny. he's like, well, you think you're too good for Otto's? He's like, I'm a criminal. This is the only job that would hire me. You too good for Otto's now? Otto my Lotto. Otto's Lotto.
Otto's Lotto.
He's like, I got health insurance, man.
He finally convinces him, okay, I'll pay for your cover and I'll pay for your wife's cover. Come on down. But you got to laugh. And RZA does the whole, ha, 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 ha. He's like, yeah, just like that. Just like that. We cut back to Adam Sandler. He's watching more of his real Adam Sandler footage again. He's digging through his old magazines and photos, kind of reliving his past. Comes across that one photo of his old flame. They have a whole joke about the one that got away a little later, but that's clearly the one that got away. It's Leslie Mann, Judd Apatow's real-life wife. He calls her up. She's in too much of a hurry to really talk, but he just says, hey, you know, I just want to let you know I'm sorry for everything I did and how it all planned out. And she just, you know, obviously doesn't really want to talk to him. He mentions, I know I'm not supposed to talk to you. I just want to say I'm sorry. And she goes, yep, yep, you really fucked up, George. Okay, have a good one. She kind of hangs up on him. We see that Rogan is living with another comedian, Jonah Hill, and kids show actor, but is on NBC, Jason Schwartzman.
The Teach.
Yo, Teach. I want to tell you about the greatest rapper is William Shakespeare. And Jason Schwartzman's a dick. He's like, hey, can you not leave your paycheck for $25,000 on my pillow? And he goes, that's on me. How did that? I don't know how that got there. So, hey, by the way, you know that girl Daisy you like, played by Aubrey Plaza? I invited her over so you can hit on her, flirt with her. And Rogan freaks out. He's like, I have a 3-month plan with this girl, and I'm not even anywhere close to in talking with her. And he goes, well, just so you know, if you don't make a move, I'm going to sleep with her in 10 days. He's like, why you got to do this to me, man? He goes, I don't want to do this.
I don't want to.
Jonah Hill's like, I've seen him do it, man. He'll do it. He's just, hey, what? Change that 30-day plan? That's now a 10-day plan, okay? Sorry, 3-month plan is now a 10-day plan. He's like, I need 90 more days, man. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. So he goes in there. Jason Schwartzman is showing her an episode of Yo Teach, the terrible sitcom that he's on. Think like a Boy Meets World versus, like, I guess more of a, what's the Zach Morris? I'm blanking. Anyway, it's a bad
Saved
TV
by the
sitcom.
Bell?
Saved by the Bell. There we go. But clearly more teacher focused. Yeah. He's trying to weave these young minds. He's showing him, and he's like, oh, by the way, this is a 2-part episode. And she's like, oh, no, so it means we get to watch the other one? I can't believe you've never seen this show. She's like, yeah, I don't know how it ever slipped past me. Meanwhile, Rogan is super awkward around her, spills the juice. He's like, oh, don't worry, I'll clean it up. And he starts slurping it off the table. It's comedy night, and Jonah Hill and Rogan are up there watching Aziz do his bit about his character Randy, which... After this movie, Judd Apatow like made like a fake documentary about Randy. Randy became part of like Aziz's early stand-up bits. Like, so like this movie truly like created a character. Maybe not created. Maybe that was already Aziz's idea anyway. But
yeah, maybe
brought
it was
to fruition.
Also,
yeah,
yeah. Of like a joke that I feel like I made when I was 10 years old about Stone Cold Creamery's "I like it, I love it, I just gotta have it."
Oh yeah. Dude, I used to listen to, when we all worked on Night Crew, I used to listen to Aziz's stand-up. Like, so when I hear that bit, I was like, bring me back to, like, you know, yeah, 12 like, years ago.
I'm tweaking.
With 8 A's. I thought that shit was so funny, and now I hear it, I'm like, ah, oh, I forgot how bad I overdid that.
You're Jonah Hill and Joe Rogan, Seth Rogen being like, is this what people like?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. I'm tweaking. And he gets back there and he goes, oh, I just fucked that crowd in the ass. Is it always this crazy on a Wednesday?
He's yeah.
Like, no, man. No. He's like, oh, man, they better start fucking paying me now. Jonah Hill goes up, does his stand-up. Rogan's supposed to go after. Unfortunately, Adam Sandler just stopped in. So, hey, guess what? Sorry, you've been bumped. You're going to go up after George Simmons. He goes up there. Adam Sandler goes up and does the most depressing stand-up bit I've ever seen, where he's just very blatantly calling out about how we're all going to die one day. Nobody's laughing. He's like, you know, you're doing bad when you can hear the waitress's footsteps. And then just kind of like we cut to Seth Rogen up there just being like, oh, fucking George Simmons, man. What's going on with that guy? He's clearly not happy. someone drops a plate and he goes, oh, there he goes. It's George Simmons out there blowing his brains out. Everyone's laughing. We cut to Joe. I keep wanting to say Joe Rogan. It's Seth Rogan. Going to the parking lot, sees his car's blocked in because Adam Sandler's blocking it. And he goes, hey, you come to tell some jokes to my face now? He's like, sorry, I just panicked. I didn't know what to do. And he goes, no, don't worry about it. I would have done the same thing. And he goes, you're funny, actually. You and your friend, the fatter version of you, talking about Jonah Hill. Which, by the way, Joe Rogan, fucking Seth Rogan, lost all that. He lost all that weight because he was getting ready for the Green Hornet. So they keep making fun of him for all his weight loss that he did.
Right.
When in reality, he lost and he like tried to bulk up for Green Hornet, that movie that we never got any sequels from.
Yeah. Miraculously.
But also, Jonah Hill was pretty big in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of those things, like, you watch some of those interviews with him, and then, like, after he loses weight, they're like, oh, you're not funny anymore because you're not fat, and he just, like, loses his shit, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Jonah Hill got real, like, rail skinny?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. He looked sickly, and then, like, he gained it all back pretty quickly, but, at home, Jonah Hill was showing Rogan a cat video. Just being like, yeah, so I just, like, copy what the cat does. This is cat stuff, and it goes just to me. He's like, cat's in the bag, and now I'm in the bag. Yeah, and he's like, you have 700,000 views on this? He goes, yeah, man, like, this is just what people watch now. He's like, you put cat video in
cat
anything?
Cat anything and get massive hits.
He's like, I have a link to my stand-up website here, and it's just like, yeah, that's how it goes. He's like, why don't you just, like, put, like, Megan Fox blowing somebody? Cut to the phone. Oh, Jason Schwartzman comes in. He goes, hey, because obviously Rogan's living on a pull-out bed. He goes, hey, I have girls coming over. Do you mind putting up your bed so it doesn't look so shitty in here? The phone rings. He answers it, and it's Adam Sandler just being like, hey, it's George Simmons. And he goes, ah, shut the fuck up, Craig. He's like, it's not your stupid friend, Craig. It's fucking George Simmons. Now shut up. I think you're funny. I think you and he refers to him as the XXXL version of you. I think you're both very funny. I'd love for you to write some jokes for me. I got a gig doing a MySpace to really date this movie. I got a MySpace thing. And he goes, oh, Jonah Hill, yeah, he's super flaky. But I'd love to write some jokes for you. Sounds good. I'll pick you up tomorrow. He hangs up, says, Adam Sandler just called me. I'm writing jokes for him. I gotta go write jokes. Jonah Hill's like, what the fuck is this world coming to? He leaves, doesn't put the bed up. Jason Schwartzman's like, what about the fucking bed? We get a little montage of him writing jokes, bouncing some ideas off Jonah Hill, only for Adam Sandler to show up in a limo, picks him up, gets in. He's like, oh man, it's like I'm going to prom. He's like, well, you're not, so relax. Take a private plane. Roll up to a MySpace event. We see James Taylor's up there singing Fire and Rain. Hits him with the fuck Facebook. It's like, that's my joke. No, it's my joke. Adam Sandler lets Rogan know, hey, you're going up. You're going to do 5 minutes before me. And he's like, I can't go after James Taylor. And he goes, yeah, I can't either. That's why you're going up. And in a panic, ends up doing almost all the jokes that he wrote for Adam Sandler to do. Only for him to come around. He's like, oh, I'm fucking sorry, man. I'm sorry. He's like, I didn't do this one. This one's still going to go. It's really good. It's really good. Sandler still goes up, ends up having himself a good set. People like it. You know, he's making fun of nerds sitting at the computer. It's a 50-50. They're either going to really hate it or they're going to think it's hilarious. Luckily, they thought it was funny. Tom from MySpace is even there, just being like, do you even use MySpace? He goes, no, man, I have sex with women.
That was a great joke.
Sandler decides to offer Rogan an assistant job. Hey, I'll pay you $1,500 a week. All you gotta do, you know, is do stuff for me. I'll give you some ideas. You can write some jokes down for me if you want. There's two girls loitering behind him. He's like, you want to have sex with these two girls? And Rogan's like, yeah, man, yeah. They go back to Sandler's house. They're in the pool. Sandler takes one of the girls off to obviously go sleep with. It's really awkward with Rogan and the other girl, who I forget her name, but she was like a staple on Mad TV forever.
Yeah, she was like,
That's where she... I don't know her name, but I was
it,
like...
Nicole
Stephanie
Parker?
Something. Oh, there we go. Nicole Parker.
Yeah.
Stephanie. Yeah, Nicole Parker.
She does a lot of impressions. She's an impression comedian.
Mm-hmm. It's super awkward. They're in the pool, and he goes, "Hey, you want to see who can hold her breath the longest?" Like, he jumps his head down, and she's just like looking, like, "What the fuck is going on?"
And he spits the water.
He spits it right in her face, and she's like, "You didn't even go down. Go down." She lets him know nothing is happening between the two of us. I have a boyfriend. And he goes, "Oh, that's fine. That's cool." Cut to Adam Sandler coming back, having a popsicle. Sees the two of them are watching, like. An Adam Sandler movie, the baby one, right? With like Justin Long, and he's like, "You wish to be younger," and he's like, "Not this young." he comes back and he goes, "Oh, hey, sorry, your friend left. She thought you had left too." And she's like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, we were calling. It's a big house problem. Happens. It's called a big house problem. But you left your purse. If you wanna." Yeah, let's go. And she's like giving like the thumbs up to Seth Rogen, who's like, and he's like, "Hey, don't leave on me. Cut to them having sex. Him coming back to Seth Rogen eating a different colored popsicle. And he's like, "Why didn't you sleep with that girl?" And he goes, "Oh no, she had a boyfriend." And he goes, "That's what she told me when he was hugging my hand." Adam Sandler tells him he needs to. I wrote down, share thicky with the world, as he's infatuated with, he's like, with the size of Seth Rogen's penis. He has him, "Hey, before you go home, why don't you come talk to me while I fall asleep?" We're seeing some, clearly, Adam Sandler's got some loneliness issues. They talk about why, you know, he's like, "Why'd you change your name?" Because it was Ira. I don't even remember what they even said his last name is, but it used to be...
Weiner.
But he changed it because it spelt like wiener, but it was pronounced Weiner, and he goes, "Oh, I just got tired of trick people." And he's like, "I can see a young Ira Weiner. Ira Wright, there you go. In class, the teacher goes, "Is there a wiener here?" Little Ira raises his hand. "It's Weiner." Weiner. That next morning, Adam Sandler confides in Rogan that he is dying. He's got all this medication out, and he goes, "Oh, you're fucking with me." He's like, "Oh, those girls weren't very clean." He goes, "No, man, I have a rare blood disease, and I'm dying." And he's like, "Why are you telling me this?" And he's like, "Because I need you to do one thing for me, Ira. I need you to kill me." And he's like, "What?" "Nobody knows we know each other. It'll be easy. Just take me in. I don't want to suffer anymore. I'll give you $50,000. And you just walk away clean. He goes, "Can I at least get a day to think of it?" He's like, "Oh my God, you were going to do it." He's like, "What would you do for $100,000? Cut my head off?" He's like, "Are you fucker?" He's like, "I really am dying though." He goes, "I need you to be honest with me, man." He's like, I'm really gullible. My friend told me that he was Joe Pesci's nephew for 3 months. For 3 years, and I believe, but I still get shit for it. And he goes, "No, yes, I am dying. I need you to keep this to yourself, though. I don't want word getting out." Cut to him immediately telling Jonah Hill and Jason Schwartzman while they're on a hike. They're just being like, "Yeah, man, he's just kind of all by himself, and he's dying." He's like, "Man, it's really depressing." Jason Schwartzman's all affected, and he goes, "I like to tell you a story about how I deal with death." He's like, "You know, my grandpa, he was very, very sick. We were all in a room, and then he died, and there was just one lone candle that went out the second he died, and there were no windows or any doors in that room, and we all knew it was a sign that he was going to heaven." And Jonah Hill says, "You don't go through fire to get to heaven. Sounds like your grandpa went to hell."
Yeah.
He's like, "What?" He's like, "No, I'm just saying, like, hey, sometimes grandpas go to hell, man.
Sometimes grandpas go to hell.
It's not that big of a deal." He's like, "I'm opening up to you about this. Like, hey, man, don't get mad at me just because your grandfather's playing backgammon with Hitler right now."
That part was funny.
"You're just jealous because I make more money than you." And Rogan goes, "Yeah, how much money do you make again?" Because it's clearly a thing he mentions all the time. Cut to them, for some reason, they're at a Yo Teach taping. Where we see that Bo Burnham is one of the classmates.
Yeah, another freaking little cameo.
Yeah. They're all, I don't understand why they're all there. Even Jonah Hill is like, I can't be here. This is terrible. But that's when Rogan asks Aubrey Plaza if she... He's like, do you like music? And she's like, you ask if I like music? You can ask if I like food? And he's like, that actually was my second question, was do you like food? But what I mean is, will you want to go to a Wilco concert with me? Sounds like fun. We should do that. Cut to, we get a Patton Adam Sandler song. Wiener, 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 it's Wiener. They sit down. Rogan goes through some of his okay stand-up jokes. And then finally hits him with the, hey, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I have a playlist for you to help you feel good about your condition. To which he's playing some songs. Sandler's making fun of some. He's just like, that's just fifth grade. hits him with a really depressing song. He gets pissed off. He's clearly upset. And just says, write some fucking jokes, you dick. We get a stand-up montage. Cut to, you know, like, we get Sandler doing some stand-up. Cut to them just, like, workshopping, you know, some jokes or whatnot. Back to him telling those jokes. You know, it's like, oh, you know, your dog and your dad. Your dad named you and your dog the same name. So every time he calls you, it's, no, I meant the dog. Hey, I got a nice steak for you. Oh, no, I meant the dog. Hey, I just put my balls in peanut butter. You.
Not the dog.
You know, plus we get a little stand-up with Rogan, Jonah Hill, Aubrey Plaza. That's when Adam Sandler's like, are you just trying not to get laid with your stand-up? Everything is just jerking off and farts. Mm. You think some girl's going to come up to you after a show and says, do you mind jacking off and then farting in my face? meanwhile, we're cutting to Adam Sandler giving blood, taking more medication, vomiting in toilets at night while Seth Rogen is comforting him. He's getting frustrated that he doesn't feel like the treatment is working, so he has Rogan take him to the doctor, who's a very tall German doctor, who's just...
Greatest interaction.
Just trying to tell him, hey, you know, I'm sorry,
so
but again,
I recently bought a piece of furniture, and you know, having a really hard time putting it together.
I've been trying to put this together for like 3 months now. He's like, Very funny. Were you mad that you died at the end of Die Hard? Yeah. I don't understand.
I don't understand.
He's just trying to tell him about his condition while he's just like, obviously projecting, is just talking shit, making fun of the doctor the whole time. Finally, the doctor's just like, I don't know what else to tell you. So I'm just going to go. I'm sorry that I have to give you this news. Rogan comes home and finds Jason Schwartzman and Aubrey Plaza post-sex. He's upset, and he's like, I guess it is past 10 days. And he goes, yeah, I gave you an extra 11. it gets super awkward, and then Jonah Hill comes in the house. And he's like, hey, just saw the new Harry Potter movie. Harry's getting old. Which we know was the Half-Blood Prince, right?
Yes, we do. Which the next movie we do, if there's one in the running, I will not know which one it is. So
don't worry, it'll be 09 again, and we
I'll be like, Order of the Phoenix. Shit.
Prisoner of Azkaban, right?
Yeah.
No, that's... Rogan gets mad at Plaza, calls her a starfucker, and he's like, just imagine, what if I was roommates with James McAvoy? And she's like, yeah, I'd probably have sex with him too, man. Don't put the bar so high. She makes the comments like, if a naked woman just came up and said, do my body, you would totally have sex. He's like, no, I wouldn't. I'd really be awkward about it. And maybe I'd ask her to a Wilco show. She's like, we don't really fucking know each other, dude. So
this is the longest conversation we've had.
Yeah. And then she just kind of storms off. Jason Schwartzman's like comforting him while he's in bed. And he's like, come on, man. I said 10 days. I gave you 3 weeks. He's like, I'm just really upset about it, okay? He's like, do you want to go to the Wilco show with me? And he's like, I can't. I'm going with Tobey Maguire. He's like, I might be his younger brother in a movie. And like, he gets in bed and snuggles up next to him, and he goes, I hope I get it. The next day at the Palm, Rogan is pleading with Adam Sandler for him to tell other people about his condition because it's killing him. And he goes, if I tell other people, then it's out there, it becomes a thing, and then everybody treats you different, and then Rogan starts crying. I need you to tell somebody, man. He's snotting everywhere. He's like, I don't really have friends. You just want me to go tell Andy Dick that I'm dying? And he's like, cut to him being like, okay. And he's like sitting
with Andy Dick.
With Andy Dick. And he's like, do I need to get you some ice chips or something? And he's like, no, I'm okay. And they're talking about how he doesn't really have a family, and that's obviously clearly affecting him already. Andy Dick's bringing up. Cut to him having a conversation with a random Charles Fleischer, by the way.
The gods ring all the...
Roger Rabbit. The voice of Roger Rabbit.
Mm.
To tie it back to one of our earlier episodes. Just having a random sit-down powwow with Charles Fleischer.
It's me! It's death, motherfucker!
Yeah. We find out that he wasn't the best brother. His sister's over. She says, you don't even know my son. He's like, you moved to Kansas. I thought you didn't want to talk to anybody. That's why you moved to Kansas. I don't want to talk to Pop. You're really reminding me of conversations with Pop. He's like, why don't I get him on the phone? That way I can have some more family. She storms off. Cut to the security cam footage of Leslie Mann pulling up. The one that got away. Rogan's like, who is this? And he goes, oh, just the girl I was going to marry before she got smart. She comes in, shows him pictures of her kids, lets him know that she's happy how everything's worked out. You know, clearly he's living the life. He breaks down and says that those could have been his kids. You know, he starts playing the what if game, you know, and then she's like, why did you cheat on me? I was so hot. And he's like, I know. He's like, I don't even remember who broke us up. I don't think of anybody else other than you. It's always been you. I'm still in love with you. She confides that she married somebody because he was the opposite of you, and then only for him to cheat on her too. She's like, he's the Australian version of you. They kind of embrace and she leaves. Clearly he's very much affectionate for her. She, you can kind of pick up, there's some feelings there.
Totally.
We get Thanksgiving. Adam Sandler's visiting. Everyone's fighting over his attention. He goes over to Aubrey Plaza, says, oh, you know, I've seen your stand-up. You know, Ira's got the Shmyra. He's got the YouTubes. He shows me. He's making it more awkward with them. He's like, look at this back and forth. Because they're talking about how he didn't go to the Wilco show and he sold the tickets. So, oh, well, you owe me half. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I do. Adam Sandler walks away and he's like, hey, sorry. I pretty much accused you of cheating on me and we weren't even... We weren't even dating. I understand that that's crazy, and that's on me. And then she's like, yeah, it could be worse. You could have gotten drunk and had sex with the guy from Yo Teach. He's like, hey, when I first moved here, I blew Mr. Belvedere. So, you know, it happens.
Yes, it happens.
Sandler goes over to Jonah Hill, and he goes, okay, so what's the excuse? How come you didn't want to make money? Why didn't you want to write jokes for me?
Ooh,
Jonah whoops. Hill is like a deer in headlights, goes outside and starts yelling at Seth Rogen.
What the fuck, man?
You don't think I like money? You think I like private planes? He's like, well, you're busy. You know, you're doing all, you made it so competitive. He's like, I didn't make it competitive. He's like, I've been living on that pull-out couch for 6 months. We were supposed to switch. He goes, yeah, you know why we didn't fucking switch? Because I fucking pay rent, Ira. He goes, no, your parents pay rent. Maybe they should fucking live here.
Yeah. It's a good little back and forth.
Jason Schwartzman comes out. Pilgrims, Indians, stop fighting. It's Thanksgiving. Jonah Hill's like, why don't you have Ira over here fucking chortle George Simmons' balls? And Adam Sandler comes out and he's like, hey, I'd let you chortle my balls too. My balls are for everyone. Now let's go eat some food. It's starting to feel like Thanksgiving out here. Back at the doctor's office, the doctor tells him, we get, you know, the German doctor comes back in, tells him that the treatment, I don't want to rush things, but it looks like the treatment is working, and with your blood samples, we can't find any trace of the illness in your body, and I'm not saying the coast is clear, but it looks like we've beaten this thing. The experimental treatment has worked. You know, to which, you know, Adam Sandler's now leaving the doctor's appointment. He's Halfine gets on the phone. Ira, I have a surprise for you, and you're going to like it. He gets home, and you can clearly see that he, like, truly doesn't have people in his life, because, like, he wants to tell the maid, like, he's the like, exciting news. He's like, okay. You know I was sick, right? I'm better. And she goes, okay. I left very the pants good. On your bed, on your bed, the ones you like, that you've been looking for. Only for Rogan to rush in. Is it true? It's true! And he goes, and he wraps him in a big hug. How are we going to celebrate? By having a celebrity party, brother. Cut to Norman. Hey, Ned, glad you beat AIDS. You want me to get you a cocktail? Not an AIDS cocktail, of course. It's like, oh, Norm. You know, we got Sarah Silverman there. And then we got my favorite runner of the movie, which is him sitting at a table with Eminem, just being like, think you fucked up? What? What do you mean? I'm just saying, like, you had an out. You could have just not taken that medicine. You could have just fucking died, man.
Yeah.
But he's like, what? He's like, now you got to do all this. What are you going to do? Make another bullshit movie? Have sex with another girl who doesn't care about you? And he's like, can't go to fucking Chuck E. Cheese, Walmart, fucking Target. He's like, man, I can't fucking do any of this shit. I got people everywhere I go want to take fucking pictures with me. Cut to like Seth Rogen and Ray Romano taking a picture.
Taking a selfie. Yeah.
Who the fuck is that guy? He's like, are you talking about Ray Romano?
Everybody
fucking
loves
Ray. Who? Ray fucking who? Everybody loves Raymond. No, everybody's like, hey, yo, hello, Ray. Hello, Marshall. He's like, do you want to fuck me? Seth Rogen, say no. No, Marshall, I don't want to fuck you. And he's like, do you want to fuck me? Well, I thought everybody loved you.
I thought everybody loves you.
they turn away. And he goes, okay, so you ended up getting better, so what was it all for? And that's when the movie takes an incredible shift. And I looked. This is the halfway point in this 2.5-hour movie. It has been an hour 15. It has now gone from when will he die, kind of dealing with that, to now he has something to live for, so he's investing all his energy into calling Leslie Mann, which he does to try to rekindle that back up. He calls her on the phone, starts talking like a pirate, because that's what he think an Australian accent is. Oh, is this Clark? So why are you talking like a pirate? He's like, oh, are you sure this ain't your husband, Clark? No, he's at the airport. Oh, would you want me to talk until you fall asleep? Oh, that'd be great. I'll put you on speakerphone. Be the best night of my life. She invites him to come up to San Francisco to visit, and he obliges. Cut to the next morning. Sandler's calling Rogan, still talking like a pirate. I set the sails. Put that big cock away, Ira, because we're setting sail for the shores of San Francisco. He's like, oh, okay, what are we doing? He's like, oh, we're doing a show. How much time am I doing? Ah, you get 1 minute for each inch of cock you have. So you'll be doing 2.5 or 4.5, depending on your mood. They're in the green room. Leslie Mann shows up. Seth Rogen's clearly picking up on what's happening. She's back. He goes, hey, by the way, I had intermission before I go up. I need you to tell her that I'm better. He's like, why haven't you already told her? And we know this because he feels like once he tells her she's better, he's better, that she will no longer talk to him. That's the kind of vibe we're getting, that she only really forgave him because he was sick. He says, I'm just not good at all that touchy-feely stuff, so just tell her. You know, he goes up, does his set, then he comes down, sits next to her, and then right as Sandler's going up to do his set, he says, he's better, we're not out of the woods yet, but we think we're good. To which she then invites them over to her house, because her husband is out of town still. In China, he works in China, so that they can play the peanut butter game with their kids, which, by the way, is obviously Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann's real-life kids, those two daughters that are also in Knocked Up.
This Every is movie. I didn't realize that the oldest one is 27 years old now.
Yeah. Damn. Time, man. It's a motherfucker.
I guess that was 2009. That was 16 years ago. So
yeah, shit. She was 11 in this movie.
That checks out.
Yeah. They're playing the peanut butter game in the hula hoops. Leslie Mann has Rogan watch the kids because Sandler and I are going to go pick up some food from the grocery store. And by that, I mean we're going to go hook up in the guest house. Afterwards, Sandler tells her that this is the only place he's ever wanted to be. When Sandler and Mann return home, Rogan immediately picks up on the vibe. He's like, "You did not!
Where's all the food?
I didn't do anything." Yeah, he's like, "Oh, we decided we're going to order pizza instead." Yeah. And he goes, "You did not fuck her." And he goes, "I don't know what you're talking about, Ira." And he goes, "All you're missing is the popsicle, man. I know you."
Yeah.
All back.
They're waiting for the pizza. Oh, pizza's here. Only for it actually to be her husband, played by Eric Bana.
The second best character in the movie, I thought.
Third build. Doesn't show up until like the last 45 minutes of the movie.
I thought he was great at just being the douchey, like...
We got the big fucker and the small fucker.
Over the top, like...
The accent makes it so much better.
But that's his native language, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Tongue. Yeah.
Yeah. Just getting roasted by an Australian dude, you know?
So funny.
I'm sorry. Just because I'm at a massage parlor doesn't mean I'm getting a rubbing tug.
A rubbing tug?
I literally was
Are you taking the piss out of me?
I literally was at this bar in Boise one night, and there, this like rugby team came in. This one dude, I was having this conversation with this guy, and he's like, "You ever been smacked or spanked by a wallaby?" And I was like, "That did not just come out of your mouth, man." That's what made me think of that.
You're like, "Nope, can't say that I have."
"No, sir. Check, please. I gotta leave. I'm dreaming."
Bana doesn't seem to think it's weird that Adam Sandler is at the house. My favorite part, not my favorite part, but like a fun part to me is like when Seth Rogen comes in, obviously he's like, "Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, give me some food." Realizes that it's Eric Bana, it's the husband. I don't know if you noticed, he like cowers behind Adam Sandler when he sees that it's Eric Bana and like puts his hand on Sandler's back.
Yeah.
As if to like shield him for whatever's about to happen. Nothing ends up happening. He's very accepting that he's at the house. "Oh, the more the merrier." Let's all hang out. And we find out that Leslie Mann's just like, "Listen, do not let him find out that you're better. He fucking hates you." The only reason why he was okay with me talking to you to begin with was because he thought you were going to fucking die. And he goes, "Don't worry about it. I'm okay. I'm okay." Little do they know that Rogan has already told the kids that Sandler is not dying anymore. Because they were asking. At dinner, Bana's asking, how's the fight going, mate? Leslie Mann tells him, "No, he's trying to put that past him right now. He's got to deal with that all the..." And she starts to try to fake cry. And Sandler's like, "Okay, let's stop that. Listen, I'm dying. I got to deal with it every day. No big deal. We're going to lighten the mood by, you know, the doctor's been giving me extra rhino cock, that kind of thing."
Rogan's like, "With the fucking cock thing, dude."
"For the last time, stop calling me rhino."
Yeah.
they're all laughing. Eric Bana's getting more wise. Like, "He's actually quite funny. I don't know why his movies aren't very funny. Do you think he'd want to put that on the..." He refers to movies as the silver screens. "Do you think he'd want that on the silver screen?" Meanwhile... Rogan and the kids are watching Yo Teach. And we see that Jonah Hill is now on Yo Teach.
Yeah. Jesus.
And he's like, you like this show?" And they go, "No, this show's the fucking worst." And he's like, "Nice.
Nice.
That's good." Right.
Bana invites the two to stay the night because they don't think that they're okay enough to drive home because they've been drinking. Anyway, and we got a footy match on the dish.
Awesome. Can we
show you? I hate them fuckers.
The big fucker and it goes to the little fucker and the back to the big fucker.
He's like, "Don't worry, babe. I'm just explaining the game to them. They love it." Cut to that next morning. As they're leaving, the youngest daughter lets it slip that Sandler isn't sick anymore, and Bana's demeanor completely changes altogether. Now he wants to know, "What's the big idea? Why are you here with my wife and my kids?" Only for Mann to start essentially calling him out for cheating too by making fun of his accent. You know, saying, oh, it's because I'm going to a massage doesn't mean I didn't get no rub and tuck. He's like, oh, you making fun of my accent? You take the piss out of me.
He's trying to take the piss out of me.
I would never, mate.
Mate.
He gets mad, storms off in the car, peels out. Sandler now decides to stay, and Rogan is urging him to leave. He's like, I don't think you understand that you are going to destroy this family. Man tells Sandler, essentially, that she's like all in. He's going to go to the airport tonight, heading back to China. I'm going to meet him at the airport, tell him he no longer is allowed back at the house. You know, logistic-wise, you know, it's December, so I'll keep the kids in school. But then in the summer, we'll move out to L.A. I want to get my actressing job back on the, you know, get that rolling again. You kind of see a look of worry on Sandler's face, like it's the thing he's always wanted, and now that it looks like he's getting it.
Well, he even asks, he's like, what happens to the kids? Like, does one go with one parent and the other one goes with the other parent?
He's like, I'm sure that the mom will keep the kids.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
It's because Rogan's like, I don't even think you're allowed to have two daughters in China.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny.
She's excited. Okay, now we're, you know, we can move forward with our lives. Let's sit down. You know, we're going to watch some home movies. You know, he puts on the eldest daughter's version of Memories from Cats, where she is really chewing the scenery in it. Rogan is infatuated with it, and we see Sandler like playing on his phone texting, and Leslie Mann clocks it as he's disinterested in her children. It's over. Rogan's like, that was amazing. I was like, I even started crying. Like, yeah. She's like, I cry every time I watch it too. And then Sandler starts making fun of it by just being like, man, it's so funny watching kids sing like old people songs.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have a friend on acid. If he watched this movie, he'd shit his pants. And he plays on his phone again. He's like, oh man, these producers will not get off my, he's like now trying to big man like an 11-year-old pageant.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, they're really not taking no for an answer, huh? What are you going to do? Cut to, it's the end of the day. We see that Mann is now going to the airport, says she'll be back. She's going to confront Banna. Rogan makes up an excuse. Hey, I need to go buy some cigarettes. He's like, you don't smoke. He goes, I love
cigarettes.
He's like, I'm addicted. I just wasn't smoking around you because you were dying, you know, but now that you're not, you know. All right, fine. All right, go get you cigarettes. He's really following her to the airport because he wants to stop her from doing this. We see Leslie Mann, which, by the way, did she have to buy a ticket to get into the, like, Chinese business class? Like,
yeah, you would like think
lounge
so.
Lounge area? No. This is post 9/11, after all. she confronts him, and you can almost see that right when they see each other, she changes her mind in an instant. She sits down and says, I just don't think I can trust you. And he goes, you can't. It's only twice I did it. You know, he's like, he completely confesses. I only cheated twice. I don't know if it counts. She couldn't even speak English. But I don't want to throw all this away. He's like, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to work around the corner. He's like, I want to be close to you and the kids. You know, to which she realizes that she's going to stay with him and says, this whole thing with Adam Sandler, it was just a flirtatious thing. That's all it was. Only for them to look up and see Seth Rogen, like, snooping behind bushes. I'm like, hey, Aura, what are you doing here, mate? He's like, going back home to L.A. He's like, you're in the Chinese business lounge there, mate. He's like, this is a Panda Express. This is a confusing airport. This is a confusing airport. only for him to kind of confess. He's like, I was here to stop you. I was here to stop Leslie Mann. She was going to break up with you. Where's Adam Sandler? Oh, he's with the kids. Fuck no. Bannock races in his car to confront Sandler. I like when he gets home. It's the kids and Sandler watching. They're watching Redo again. Big household favorite, the Adam Sandler baby movie. He pops in. He's like, oh, hey, girls. You look so cute. Waves at him. He's like, you, outside.
Outside.
Is he in trouble? Yes.
Yes.
They go outside. They start wrestling. He's like, won't you fight me like a man? He's like, I'm a comedian. I don't know how to fight.
I don't know how to fight.
He starts running around in the yard. He chases him down, does a rugby tackle on him. Throgan tries to tackle him too. And he's like, you don't want any of this. He's like, freaking out. Adam Sandler's like, I'm going to enjoy this. Goes to punch Eric Bana, misses, punch Seth Rogen in the face. Only for Eric Bana to get up, punch Sandler a couple times in the face. Tells Leslie Mann, tell him what you told me about how you love me and only me and have only ever wanted to be with me. She says, I'm staying with my husband. He goes, you have to choose me or him. She says, I'm choosing my husband. At the end of the day, as the father of my kids, this was a mistake. And also, you didn't cry during Cats. And he goes, and he's like, I didn't know what to tell you.
I saw it live.
I didn't want to lie, but I saw it on Broadway. Yeah. It wasn't as good. Eric Bana comes back, and he's like, you know, I've been thinking about this. This is karma. I brought all of this on because of me. You came into our lives and did this, so this is on me. We're all going to learn from this. And everyone's just like, yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I really appreciate you, friend. Like, he does one of those, like, and that's a wrap on Bana. We don't see him the rest of the movie. Sandler and Rogan pack up in the car, and they clearly have a bitter fight. They break up, essentially. Sandler fires him because he doesn't like what Rogan is telling him about how he was really trying to ruin a family, and he didn't even seem to care. Sandler drops Rogan back at his house. We get a lot of sad Sandlers, the paparazzi's asking, hey, is your illness? Hey, how you doing, George? That paparazzi, by the way, is played by Dan Harmon. I don't know if you know who Dan Harmon is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We got Rogan back at the house. He's sleeping on the fold-up bed. Jason Schwartzman comes in. I like the little light tap on Jonah Hill as he's eating. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think today's the day I'm going to forgive him. He's like, really? Oh, that's great. He goes, yeah, I just, you know, I don't, you know, I'm going to be on Yo Teach more. I just don't want him to get jealous. He's like, well, what if we find a part for him? He's like, I mean, I wouldn't push it. Like, let's just see. He goes, I don't want to be on, like, from the bed. He's like, I don't want to be on Yo Teach. He goes, no, it's okay. I forgave you. Thank you. So how'd it go with George? He goes, I think I did the right thing, but he punched me in the face and he fired me. And he goes, oh, okay. And he goes, like, well, you mind telling us? It sounds like the greatest story of all time. And he's like, wake me up at 2:00, I'll tell you. Rogan's kind of upset. He mentions, I'm pretty much going to have to start all the way over. He's working back at the deli, still doing a little stand-up here and there. Actually, doing more than here and there. He said he's been going about every night. He's now dating Aubrey Plaza. They run into Adam Sandler at the Comedy Cellar, only for him to introduce Aziz Ansari's Randy as his new assistant. Sandler stays for Rogan's set, notices that it's fart-free, kind of funny, and he meets him at the deli, where he's like, he does the callback, the last time you made the roast beef, you left a string on it, and I got that. What do you want, George? I just want to talk, you know, and he's like, takes a break, you know. RZA's like, oh my god, that's George Simmons. Like, takes a snap, snaps a photo of him. They have a sit down, and Sandler apologizes to Rogan for one, putting him in that situation, and like, I was a little hurt, you know. Maybe a few of the things you said was actually true. You know, my body is better, but my brain still needs to, you know, catch up. But that being said, I really did enjoy your set. In fact, like, I wrote some notes for you. You know, earlier in the movie, Rogan asks, like, would you mind writing, help me with some jokes? He goes, man, no one fucking helped me when I got going. So, but now he's reciprocating, saying, I wrote some jokes down for you. And they kind of workshop those jokes a little bit as the camera kind of pans away. And that's the end of the film, fellas.
Yeah.
Boom.
The question is, I was going to say, is it a thriller? But... Do you think them people were funny?
Some of them.
You know, this is a... It had probably been 10 years since I'd watched this. Like I said, I own it. I think this is like a good every 10-year watch, you know? It's definitely not in the... It won't ever be on any Adam Sandler, Judd Apatow, Mount Rushmore. But
yeah, I would agree with that.
I even prefaced a few weeks ago as we were gearing up to it. I was like starting to reconsider. I was like, oh, did I just make a terrible choice? Mm-hmm. Is this movie going to be incredibly heavy-handed? Is it not as funny, period? And we can talk all we want about how, like, obviously this isn't like a normal Adam Sandler humor-wise film.
Right.
But especially when you're going very blue, very dark. It's like, oh, George's getting dark tonight. but I still enjoyed it.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was the fact that it's 2.5 hours long was wild. But like, yeah. I don't know. It does a good job of like kind of dragging, not dragging you through, but holding your hand through.
I think we could lose 30 to 45 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, 100%. There's some stuff that could be condensed, you know?
For sure.
But I was honestly surprised you hadn't seen it, Michael. Just being that it's Adam Sandler in general.
Yeah.
That's your dude.
I have seen a lot of them, so I guess it is sort of surprising. But now I can add it to the list.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, anything else we need to talk about with... Oh, I should mention, by the way, I found an interesting trivia fact about this movie. I found two interesting trivia facts about this movie.
The one that you sent the group chat was pretty amazing.
That one, I think, just went to you. I don't think Michael...
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Adam Sandler was going to be... Michael, have you seen Inglourious Basterds?
I have not.
The Eli Roth character in that movie, known as the Bear Jew, is the guy who likes to beat Nazis' heads in with a baseball bat.
Mm.
That was originally going to be Adam Sandler.
Wild.
Which, if you've seen the movie, like, I can't picture anybody but Roth playing it, right? Like,
just imagine Adam Sandler walking up and like he touches the metal on the knot and he goes, "Did you get that for kidding, Jews?"
Yeah, like it'd be a whole
That'd
different
be a
character.
Weird.
What do you mean? So he dropped out of that movie to make this movie.
Wild.
Which was an insane factoid. That was like the big one that I was just like, holy fuck. I had heard a lot. Like it's been very publicized about how that was supposed to, that's not even like a casting what could have been. Like, he truly dropped out to make this.
Mm.
So like, it's just weird. Yeah, I'm sure one day we'll do that movie on this podcast.
He should have. The box office for Inglourious Basterds was $321.5 million.
So a lot better than Funny People.
A lot.
Was that December of 09 or 10?
Release dates, August 2009.
Okay, yeah, so same year still.
Yeah.
In my head, it was 2010, but... Anyway, the second trivia fact was that this movie is apparently loosely based on The Great Gatsby. I don't know if either of you have read or seen any Great Gatsby.
Long time.
I have.
My wife had me watch the Robert Redford Great Gatsby movie on Friday because I told her that fact. She didn't make me, but I was just like, yeah, let's watch
She's
it.
Like,
could you draw the parallels?
I mean, the love triangle aspect.
And I think, like, I think anybody who's like at peak of their career, who's faced with a, you know, devastating or life changing, whatever.
Like, obviously, Adam Sandler doesn't get murdered at the end, but like,
right. But
Seth Rogen is clearly the third person there that's kind of like telling the story. Sandler's obviously your Gatsby.
Yeah.
Leslie Mann is your Daisy, and they even named Aubrey Plaza's character Daisy after. But Leslie Mann is the Daisy, and then Eric Bana is Tom Buchanan, the abusive husband in Great Gatsby, but this is more of the cheating. And it is, I can see kind of the, like, they don't live on the opposite sides of the bay, and he's not like watching the light of the unobtainable. But there is like that kind of, but it's, I would highlight and embolden the word loosely as far as, but I can see that there's elements there, but
influence.
Like, yeah. So
interesting.
But I mean, all stories come from other stories, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, there's only so much, like, I feel like there's only so many preset, like, ways you can draw out of storyline too, but
I even watched it again this morning trying to look to see if there was like some sort of green light that was like ever once beckoning Sandler ever, and that wasn't the case. So I got up at like 6:30 in the morning to watch this 2.5 hour movie before we recorded.
Good deal.
Nice.
Just for that one thing not to happen. But we got a few things to talk about here, guys. But before we close the book on funny people, is there anything else we need to discuss?
I got nothing.
No.
Next week, we're doing two things. We're talking Grown Ups, which is the last Sandler movie we're doing. It's also Brandon's pick, which obviously we had to diverge from the Airheads playing, so we added Grown Ups to the equation. But we also need to discuss what our next set of films are going to be.
Yeah.
And the hat is on myself this week. And I've been thinking a lot about this. Obviously, we'll choose our movies next time. But let me hit you with what we're going to do. I was flip-flopping a bunch. And honestly, if Michael hadn't have chosen Adam Sandler, we probably would be doing Nick Cage right now. But I was like, we don't need to do, you know, central people. But because of the Amazon news lately, I thought we should do some James Bond movies.
Oh, nice.
But what I would like to do, since we're doing six movies, and there are six actors that play James Bond, I would like us to make a list. Maybe you might need to make a list of six movies that each actor, Brandon, as always, will go first. When you choose your movie, let's say, for example, Brandon chooses Skyfall. Boom, that's a Daniel Craig. All other Daniel Craig movies are off the list.
Ooh.
Know what I'm saying?
I do.
Michael, if Michael chooses Dr. No, okay, all Sean Connery movies now are off the list. That way we peter it down to six movies, and we get the cornucopia of all actors playing.
There. That's a good system.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Brandon's looking inquisitive over there.
Well, that's going to be hard. Yeah.
Well, I know. Narrow it down to one.
Yeah. I'm like, Michael, have you seen all the James Bond movies? I'm pretty familiar with all of them.
I've seen, well, I got the list in front of me. I've seen, Diamonds Are Forever.
Diamonds Are Forever.
For Your Eyes Only. I've seen Octopussy.
Nice.
License to Kill, GoldenEye, Casino Royale, Skyfall, and then No Time to Die.
Sick. I'm a huge James Bond fan, nerd. Nothing saddens me more than watching what Amazon was probably going to do to my baby. I feel like Don Corleone after he sees his son Sonny after he got shot. They did to my boy. They massacred my boy. Especially watching that terrible tribute at the Oscars where they got three singers to be pitchy and auto-tuney.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow at the same time. So that's what we're doing.
We're going to show some love to the Bond series. Yes.
Yeah. So with that, we will discuss those films after we talk about Grown Ups. But what do you say we go ahead and cut print check the gate?
See you guys.
See ya.